Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. Hey, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Out of all the podcasts in the world, you chose this one, and I appreciate you. One of the podcasts that I listen to regularly is Unlocking Us from Brené Brown. And about a year ago, I listened to an episode that stopped me in my tracks and introduced me to a concept called the midlife unraveling. Not a crisis, an unraveling. Where you begin to shed the old habits and outdated mindset that hold you back, and a new you is reborn. Since listening to that, I started a mini-series of unraveling episodes here on Weddings for Real, and I have to say, the vulnerability from the guests on those episodes make them some of the most interesting, memorable, and truly impactful episodes we've created. And today, we're sharing one more. I'm Megan Gillikin, and on episode 184 of the Weddings for Real podcast, we hear from one of the most well-known wedding planners in the world about her unraveling. Let's dive right in. Hey there, I'm Megan Gillikin, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert, it takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional's safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings, for real. Today's guest is Andrea Eppolito, Las Vegas wedding planner and business coach. If you've ever been to a wedding industry conference, well, you've probably heard Andrea speak, and you know there's no nonsense, no filter, no fluff, and all actionable takeaways, which makes her a perfect guest for an unraveling episode. A little bit about how Andrea got into the industry. Up until she was 13, she told everyone that she was going to be a lawyer. And then a tragic event led her to realize that the special moments in life need to be celebrated.
My father's cousin had died very unexpectedly. His daughter had been planning her sweet 16, which for our people, Italians back East, it is the biggest rite of passage. And it was not very long after the death. And the family decided that they were going to have this party anyway. And so we were all dressed up in the back of the car and we're driving. My parents are talking. And I happened to say, like, I can't believe we're doing this. Like, I can't believe that her dad died and she's having a birthday party. And my father adjusted the rearview mirror and he looked at me and he said, you know, honey, this party is the only thing that's been getting her out of bed. It's the only thing that has helped her. Planning it with him is going to be the thing that she remembers. It's the last gift he ever gave her. He said, and that's why we do things like this, because when bad things happen, and they always happen, you need things to look forward to and you need things to look back on.
That's why so many of us are in this industry, to celebrate the special moments in life and create memories. From there, Andrea set her sights on becoming a wedding planner. She went to UNLV for hospitality and worked for some of the biggest names in Las Vegas, like the Venetian and the Bellagio, before starting out on her own in 2011 with Andrea Eppolito Events. She quickly found her people. A group of wedding pros that she would work with regularly that she knew would deliver memorable events and an amazing client experience.
2012, 2013, 14, 15, 16. The group of us are crushing it. And I mean, I never wanted to be quote unquote busy, but I had going into 2016, going into 2017, I had done 19 weddings, which is a lot. And the value of the weddings was ranging from about 75,000, which at the time was, especially like in this market for me, was huge, to about $400,000. I came home one night and I looked at my husband and I was like, never again. After I did my last wedding of 2016 going into 2017, I said, absolutely never again. And he goes, what? And I said, I hate what I'm doing. I hate who I'm doing it for. I hate who I'm doing it with. I just can't function like this. And he's like, oh, that's a lot to unpack. He's like, do you want to shut down? I was like, no. But I said, I feel chaotic. I feel like I'm all over the map. Our kids were still little. I said, but I don't like the volume of work. I don't like the phone calls at 8:30 at night to discuss the 17 different shades of pink that we looked at.
And oh my gosh, I've been there.
Right. I said, I resent the amount of time that somebody with a $70,000 budget expects when I need to give my time to people who are spending $400,000. I just don't care. And $70,000 is a lot of money. It's a tremendous amount of money. But I no longer know how to care about a $70,000 wedding in the same way that I care about a $400,000 wedding. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, if you are sitting out there and you're listening to this and you're like, no, I care about all of it, you're lying to yourself, because you don't. Because if I came to you and I said, you can do this or you could do this, you will pick the bigger wedding. You will pick the more expensive. You'll pick the one that pays you more. You'll pick the one that gives you the opportunity to do more. Unless your dream in life is to do volume. If that's the case, then you're an operator. You're not a designer. You're not a planner. But if you're a planner operator and not a designer, maybe $70,000 cranking through is your happy place. But I wanted to design. I wanted to bend the universe to my will for people who cared about the thing that I cared about. I wanted to give people who live extraordinary lives a day that was better than every other day that they had ever had. And so I said, I gotta break this apart and put it back together.
So what did you do?
I sat down, I laid out all of my weddings that I had done in the last 2 years. And I said, okay, let's go back to what I talk about now all the time. I said, we're gonna readdress my client avatar. I said, what were my favorite weddings to work on? And I put them off to the right. And then still looking at everything globally, I said, who were my favorite clients? Like in terms of people, most of those people were still on the right. There were a couple of couples that I just adored that were still on the left, but primarily it was the right. So I said, okay, let me look at the weddings on the left. And where were my pain points? Where are my breaking points? What was it about it that I didn't enjoy? I said, okay, so I know that people who say these things, I tend to not enjoy working with. People who want these things are not my people. People who have this budget, and still, again, incredibly, I will never disrespect the amount of money that somebody wants to spend. Mm-hmm. $20,000 is a lot of money, because money is a tool and it's relative. But that's a lot of money in some people's life. $1 million is a tremendous amount of money for some people, and to others, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But I looked at it and I was like, what do I need? What kind of financial commitment do I need from my clients in order to do the kind of work that I want to do? And so I wrote it all out and I looked at my husband and I said, I'm going to finish 2017. I think I had 18 weddings on the books that I had to do. And I will never again take a wedding that does not meet my core requirements. These are the only people that I am going to work for. And in 2018, I did 2 weddings.
Wow.
And it emotionally, financially, I'm not going to lie, financially, I did really well. I had 2 ideal clients who saw the world the way I saw it, who made tremendous investments in who I was as an expert, who were open and willing and allowed me to take them down the path that I believed we should go down. And I did extraordinary work, beautiful things for beautiful people who were kind and generous and open and risk takers and who were everything. But emotionally, it was hard because I saw my colleagues and people that I respected doing all of this amazing work.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
And I saw Instagram, like I have a girlfriend out here. Her name is Angelica. She owns Angelica Rose Events. She's a planner. She's an incredibly close friend of mine. I constantly am scheming on how I can get my son to marry her daughter because she and her husband are just like my husband and I love them. And we're just like, let's marry off our kids so we can do this forever. Runs a very different business than I do. Does things very differently, has a different style, has a different tone. And so in that way, we never consider each other competition. We are 2 people who do things very differently. To see my friend having such a great year and new wedding after new wedding after new wedding and content on top of content, I would look at my husband and I would say, I think I fucked up. I think maybe I broke the business because I'm not closing. I'm not closing any business. And a lot of the calls have stopped. And he's like, well, you took down more than half your work. And I was like, but it was work I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, so let me get this straight. You're upset that people that you don't want to work with aren't calling.
I get it.
Getting to do the kind of work that you don't want to do.
Exactly. Yes.
I was like, okay, well, when you say it like that, it sounds absurd, but yeah. And I was like, maybe the world doesn't want what I want. Maybe this market, maybe this town doesn't want the kind of thing that I want to produce. Maybe I was wrong. And he's like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Because you had 2 people who did want the thing that you wanted and did want to put that out into the world and who were committed. And those 2 were all you needed. And I was like, but I don't need 2. I need 6. Mm-hmm. He's like, right. And I started working around the same time I started working with Sean Lowe. He's the founder of The Business of Being Creative. And I have worked with Sean now since 2017. He is incredibly brilliant. He's a retired lawyer. He's rough. He's cerebral. He's esoteric. He's abrasive. And I'm sure he's going to listen to this and laugh. But he is the exact person that I need. Outside of my husband, the voice that I hear, well, I like to think that now I hear my own voice, but at the time, the voice that I needed to hear, the voice in my head that I needed was Sean's. And that was really important because I would say something and he's like, are you an idiot? I'm like, are you supposed to say that to me? Like, are you allowed to call me names? And he's like, well, you're being fucking stupid. And I was like, and my husband was like, I love this man. My husband just was like, this is what you need.
I can see that.
Because I do have such a big personality and I am such a strong force as a human being. And I didn't know what I didn't know. I had a 4-year degree from a very prestigious university. I had 20 years of experience working as an executive director, VP level projects on the strip. I had run my business for 5 and 6 years by instinct. And my instincts, thank God, knock on glass or wood or whatever I've got here. My instincts served me so well, but I got to this point where I was like, now what?
Yes.
And I broke my business and I took it apart. And now what? And so I had met Sean through the Engage conference. I had heard him speak. People either feel very inspired by Sean or they feel very intimidated by Sean. I felt very inspired. And then my first time speaking at Engage, I looked across the room and Sean is very tall. I'm 5'4". Sean is not. He's like, for me, he's a huge person.
Yeah.
And I saw him and I was like, son of a bitch. Like, Sean Lowe is in my thing. And I was like, dear God. But I did the presentation and afterwards I went upstairs. I changed. I'm going down to the pool and I feel this hand tap me on the shoulder in the elevator. And I turn around and I look up and it's Sean. And he's like, is that story you told about your husband true? And I was like, yes. And he's like, he's a fucking genius. I want to meet him. And Sean and I had this great conversation. And then we met for breakfast. I was consulting for a venue in Napa and he lives up there. And I was like, hey, I'd love to take you to breakfast. And he told me about the BBC. And I, not only did I join the BBC, but I also said, how can I create a deeper relationship with Sean? Because he had a business mind that I hadn't unlocked yet. And we don't agree with everything. We actually agree not, we don't agree on nearly as much as I think people assume that we do. But he unlocked something. And I'm like, we're on video. You can see I'm a reader. Mm-hmm. I try to read a book a week if I can. Sometimes it's two books a week. Like I love to read and I love to read about business and I want to hear people's stories and I'm forever watching Masterclass. And I don't know if it's because he's from back East or what, but when Sean spoke, all of a sudden it was like the dominoes fell.
Yeah.
And so it's now been about 5 years. I'm still in the BBC and I very often will reach out and call on Sean and say, my husband and I, because my husband is a silent partner in the business. But really, Tony's my partner in business and in life and in everything that I do. And so there will be times where Tony and I will start going down a path and we'll have a bottleneck or we'll be not sure. Or like right now, we're both debating. He has a potential project that he doesn't know if he wants. I'm going after a project that is not wedding related. That I very much want.
Mm.
And so we're both kind of floating around these two really large opportunities. Literally last night, he goes, you know, we should schedule a call with Sean because sometimes you just need, and there have been times where Sean has been like, this is exactly what I do. And we've hung up the phone and looked at each other and been like, nope, we're going the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
But just having someone that isn't, when you live together and you work together, your entire life is so tied up. Sometimes having a neutral voice.
I get that in a big way. My husband and I also have a similar relationship. And it's funny, as you were talking about your husband being your oracle, I've said my husband is that one that kind of pushes me and is that cheerleader and sees something that I don't always see right away. And I will come around to it, but agreed, like the idea of having, it's like having someone at that table with you that you can bounce ideas off of. And you can say like, what do you think about this? You know, maybe I'm going to do it. Maybe I'm not, but it's not just that vacuum that perhaps you can find yourself in with your significant other who maybe is too close to the project sometimes.
Well, and I mean, at the end of the day, if I fail, when I fail spectacularly and I own that. And I have, we could deep dive into my personal life and my stuff. You would never, ever, ever have another guest. but like when that happens, we look at each other and we go, all right. And when we succeed, and I know that you turn around and you say like success at a wedding, I had a wedding this weekend. It was my last COVID postponement. We worked together from the day that we signed to the day that the wedding happened, 1,277 days. Think about that. 1,277 days that I had to care about them. 1,277 days that I had to keep them emotionally engaged in the process. 1,277 days that I had to convince them and every day, this is worth it. Don't walk away during COVID. Mm. Don't give up. Don't go halvesies. Mm-hmm. Don't say close enough is good enough, because close enough is never good enough. Close enough means you failed. And like, stay with me. Let me take you on this journey because it matters.
Yeah.
And when that happens, the success of that event is greatly attributed to all of the vendors and everyone who worked in the room. But the success of my business, the success of my life, I own. I look at my husband and I say, we built this together. We were in the hot tub last night and I looked at him and our kids were inside and our two dogs were running around. I said, this moment right here is everything we ever wanted. Mm. And it took us a long time to get here.
Yeah.
In that moment, everything was worth it.
Whew. So what I hear from your story is you're very intentional when you decided to start the business. You mentioned like putting 2 years into the business plan, and life happened and things postponed when it would happen. Then finally you brought it to life and you were so intentional that you thought about, this is the type of wedding that I want to work. This is the type of client that I want to connect with. And then you were in like what I would call like the hustle stages of building your business, right? Like you decided to try to create something different for your market, and you did it in a different way than most planners, right? Like you had these conversations, you built these strong relationships.
Which, funny enough, I don't work with any of those vendors anymore.
Yeah, that happens, right? That happened to me as well. Yeah.
And it's one thing that I think that we don't talk about enough. When I got to that point where I looked at my husband and I was like, I'm done, I did sit with everyone. And I said, like, for me, it was, we've gotten here. Like we went from 0 to 50 real fast. I want to go to 100.
Yeah.
And they were like, why?
They were happy. Yeah.
They were like, but we're good now. Like, look at how much business we have. Look at all the volume. Look at all the content. Look at all the clients. Like, why isn't it enough? And I was like, it's never enough. It's never going to be enough. This is not going to be enough for me. And I did, because of, when I say misplaced loyalty, because I felt like we built this together, because I felt like we were in it together. I really had this idea of like, no, we need to cross the finish line together. And that created so much friction, because I wanted to push them to a place, and I was pushing them to a place that they didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. And then I was upset when the work or the communication or whatever it was, when it fell short of my expectation. And then I had to sit there and say, wait a minute, how unfair of it is it of me to be telling these people that their best and their happy place isn't good enough? Mm-hmm. It's more than good enough for them. They're all still in business. They all still work together. They're all still doing beautiful things that I have no interest in.
So here's a question that I have for you. Where you were when you decided to break apart your business and then reimagine what it looked like, that is what I tend to call the messy middle of business ownership. Like, you've got growth, there's the snowball of, you know, referrals are coming in, recognition is there, the leads are there, but then something needs to change.
Yeah.
Something needs to change for you to get to that next level. And I think anyone listening to this that is in that messy middle knows exactly what I'm talking about and knows the feelings that you felt of like, this isn't going to work anymore. Something has to change. What would you say? What's your advice to someone that perhaps is in that place right now? There's success, there's growth, but the friction and the tension that they're feeling about where the path leads, maybe it doesn't feel right. What advice would you give to them?
So you're going to be in pain regardless. I tell my kids hard is hard. Everyone has a different version of hard. You know, my father dying is a totally different, but equally valid hard as somebody who's taking care of a parent who's sick, as somebody who is losing their house, as somebody whose kid is struggling in school, because everybody's hard is internal. And when you have an opportunity to choose your hard, being overweight and unhealthy is hard. Being on Weight Watchers is hard. You get to choose when it comes to business, you get to choose your hard. You get to choose your pain point. You get to choose your risk. It was miserable and unhappy for me to be going through and doing the work that I was doing. It was profitable. By every sense of the word, it was a critical success. I was getting published. I was getting accolades. I was getting referrals. I was busy. I was all the things on paper that you thought I want, that you should be, but I was unhappy. Walking away from that, walking away from the money, walking away from the volume, walking away from the social proof was also hard. Not as hard as being miserable, but still hard. Doing only two weddings in a year where my friends were doing 25, 30 was hard. But I chose that. And I chose the hard. And now today, when I have a completely different business, when my clients are completely different, it's hard to tell somebody I don't specialize in that. Or I'm so excited. Like I love the fact that you love the work, but I'm not the right person for you. Mm-hmm. But you choose your hard, and you have to be willing to go through some really rough stuff with an amount of blind faith that you will come out on the other side.
Like betting on yourself.
Yeah. And taking that gamble and building a personal team of not so much board of directors, but
it's like a circle of trust to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, there's four of us girls in Vegas who are all in the wedding industry. One's in venues, one's in beauty, and the two of us are planners. And we have dinner once a month. We don't actually talk about business at our dinners, but we are there for each other in such a real, meaningful way because nobody else understands this. And yet when I'm writing a book, the person that I go to read it first has nothing to do with the wedding industry, but she's a spectacular proofreader and she knows my voice and she will look at it and say, this doesn't sound like you. Mm-hmm. Like everything else, I got here and I struggled to read it because this isn't you. That's valuable. And then, you know, Sean and my husband are in two totally different places, but you build that up for yourself because if you're a parent, you know what your child needs. And if you're a business owner, I really do believe that intrinsically in your soul, you know what the right answer is. And if you have the right people around you, even when they don't agree, it gives you the foundational strength to say, I hear you, but I'm still doing it my way. And to know that if it works, fantastic. And if it doesn't, you can go back and be like, all right, so you get one there. but now what?
And what do you learn? What did you learn from that experience that is going to make you stronger and smarter and more equipped with whatever comes next, right?
Yeah. And now when I do business coaching or I do consulting or things like that for other businesses, it's interesting because there have been times where I've told people, I don't think that you're where you need to be, which as a business coach is not always the smartest thing because then they don't continue with you. But I remember saying to somebody years ago, I said the most important thing that I can do and the most valuable thing that I can tell you is that you are banging your head against a brick wall, trying to be something that you think you should be. And it's not who you are. And you are in this place of struggle, and you're stuck on a hamster wheel, because truly, like, if you're sitting there thinking, I want to be you and I want to run your business, I want to do all these things, we are such inherently different people. And you will never do, like, this is not your place.
Yeah, it's not your path.
And you really need to go. And I said, I'm going to give you two options. I said, either we'll cancel the rest of the contract right now. Like, you don't owe me anything else. You know, you'll pay me up for the time and we'll be done. Or we're going to abandon this and we're going to look and we're going to help you find your new path, which is what we ended up doing. And years later, she is wildly successful. She is so happy. And she's, when they say, like, comparison is the thief of joy, there is no one that she can compare herself to, because she is doing something so different from what anyone else was doing, myself included. What she has created and built for her, she looks better, she feels better, she speaks more confidently, she moves through the world in a different way. Amazing. On a day-to-day basis. And I'm no longer her coach, but when I check in with her, because after so long, you do continue to care about people, and I look at what she does, I just am so happy. If you're sitting there thinking, like, oh, I should have a podcast just like this one. No, you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking, I should have a business just like Andrea Polito Events or Mindy Weiss or Colin Cow or any of these people, no, you shouldn't.
Nope.
Like, there's the idea that you're going to model off of somebody else, a knockoff will never be as good as the original.
What a quote. Yeah.
You can be better than Pinterest. You can do more than what's already out there. And I had, when I did my podcast on it, I had one person locally do a very deliberate knockoff of one of my weddings. And in the last 2 weeks, a second one has come out from a different planner. And I have no problem calling them knockoffs, because they're not inspired. They're Kinko Xerox copies on. And I, on one hand, I'm like, I'm so glad that people are inspired by the work. I'm so glad that people love the work. I'm so glad that it resonates. On the other hand, I'm like, how incredibly sad for the client, mm-hmm. who's probably incredibly happy. He's probably like, this is exactly what I wanted, but who doesn't know that they could have wanted more.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know that they could have asked for something that really spoke to who they were, that they could have made a statement that was really, truly intentionally for them. And for the planner who missed an opportunity to put their own stamp, not to study my picture and break it apart and say, what's the recipe, and then deliver it at, mm-hmm. at a budget, but to turn around and say, okay, if this is why this client and this planner chose this, how could they? I'm inspired by people all the time. I say things and say, how can I bend that? How could I tweak it? How could I make it my own? How could I incorporate it? But if you're out there thinking that you need to do a wedding that looks like, or you need to have a business that looks like, you will always be chasing.
Yes.
And when you finally turn around and say, I do not care what anyone else is doing. What do I want? And that's a rough one as a human to ask. But I also think as a business, because you want a formula of success, and going out on a limb on your own is tough. Maybe you love day of coordination. Maybe you love it. And all you want is to do 100 day ofs a year. I can't want that. But if it's what you want, then I hope you get it. And you shouldn't apologize. It's not low end. It's not lowbrow. There's nothing about that anyone should disrespect if that's the thing you love.
I love that. And I love that as we're wrapping this conversation up, a question to end with is, what do you want? Like, what do you want for your business? What do you want for your space here, either in the industry or out of it? And I think that that's, you've taken us on this journey that has been amazing to hear, like the moments of doubt, the moments of questioning everything, but the moments of the blind faith and the people that you have in your corner that are going to challenge some of the beliefs that you have. I think that's how I want to leave it for those listening is, what do you want? Do you know? Like, does this conversation make you think, oh, you know what? I've been pursuing this path that I believe is what is expected of me, or I'm hoping to be the next Andrea Ippolito, but maybe there's something different for me that I haven't yet explored because I've been too focused on something else. So I think it's, I love this conversation. I think that you kept it real. And you also kept it in like your signature style of like, you know, I'm going to tell it like it is.
But I also say, don't be afraid to change your mind.
Yeah.
I think that people are like, oh, well, what will they say if I don't do this? What are people going to say if I don't show up at this next conference? What are people going to say if I stop speaking for this group, or what is, you know, what's people only care about you for 5 seconds. People care about themselves. Whatever gossip, whatever nonsense, whatever is out there in the ether, when I come home, when I shut my door, and I will leave it with this, at the end of the day, my parents are going to be gone. My kids are going to grow up and they're going to leave. If I'm lucky, I get to go back out in that hot tub and I get to turn and I get to look at my husband. And I get to say that we lived a really beautiful life, that from day one, it was on my team and by my side for both of us, that I changed the industry for the better, and that I created education and opportunity and outlets for people who maybe didn't know where to go, and that somewhere in the world, there's a kid who's 13 or 14 who's sitting in their parents' living room, who's flipping through their wedding album, and their parents are telling them the story about that thing we did 20 years ago. And that's a legacy and a life that I can be proud of. And so if you're asking what I want, that's it. How I'm going to get there, I don't know. I'm sure things are going to twist and turn, but that's the goal.
Amazing. What a great way to wrap up. Thank you so much for coming on the show. If someone is wanting to connect with you after and has follow-up questions, where should they find you?
They can always find me on Instagram at Andrea Ippolito. And then my website is just the same. It's www.andreaippolito.com. And there's actually, I've never said this before. There is a page. It's andreaippolito.com/ask. Because I get so many people that have questions or want time or things like that. If you go to andreaippolito.com/ask, you can actually put in questions, topics, things that you want. And then we will take those and filter them and put them in our topic guide so that when I'm creating content or when I'm doing podcasts or when I'm doing posts, because I just can't give everybody undivided attention anymore. It's a great way for me to be able to answer questions for people later and still give back to an audience that I can't connect with personally all the time.
I love that so much. We'll put that in the show notes.
And yay!
Thank you again for coming on and keeping it real and getting vulnerable and sharing your story.
Always. Thank you. I'll talk to you again soon.
That was Andrea Ippolito, who again, you can find at andreaippolito.com/ask or on Instagram where she's at Andrea Ippolito. Ippolito, by the way, has 2 P's and 1 L. And check out her podcast too. It's called Andrea Ippolito, Celebrating Life, Luxury, and Above All Else, Love. So what did you think? Did you hear any of your own story in Andrea's? Are you, or have you ever been, super busy but lost and unhappy? I know I have. And if you'd like to share your own experience with us, come join us in our Weddings for Real Facebook group, or just share this episode on Instagram where we're at Weddings for Real. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and we'll see you again soon on Weddings for Real.